everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful springtime in Salt Lake City, it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about
religious liberty, the creep. The slow outward creep of religious liberty.
Religious liberty
on the move.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a code phrase. Look for it all over the place. Anytime you hear the phrase religious liberty, that is not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But first, we got other shit to talk about.
We do indeed.
Yeah, I'll talk about,
starting. Wow.
Yeah, I'll launch in.
Okay.
I thought I would.
Yeah, no,
just
it's
this
nice
time.
Of you.
But I am going to talk about religious liberty, actually.
Oh,
since we were on the subject. This is just in a different way.
Okay.
Have you heard of the state of Alabama? Alabama?
Unfortunately.
It's
we've been there.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Not my favorite state in the union.
There were oddities that were fun to see.
Sure, sure. And lovely people. We met some very lovely people
fantastic
there.
Fantastic.
However, here's one of the reasons why it's not my favorite state. Their newly elected governor just signed into law a bill that it's an adoption bill. HB...
Oh, they're encouraging adoption?
24. That's what they say they're doing. They're saying that they're freeing up adoption agencies to make adoption easier.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Is there an Alabama twist here?
Oh, there might be.
Is that why you're bringing it up?
Here's the dealio. Basically, this allows adoption agencies to cite their, quote, sincerely held religious beliefs as an excuse not to let the queers adopt anybody. So basically, it should be renamed the LGBTQ Discrimination Act.
Adoption Prevention Act.
Adoption Prevention Act. Basically, it is so far-reaching. It will allow... adoption by gay couples and by, you know, trans people and stuff is still legal in the state.
Okay.
But adoption agencies, which are often religious organizations.
There's a religious organization that runs it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Can now discriminate. It goes so far that a blood relative of the child, a grandparent of the child who happens to be gay, could be prevented from adopting that child.
Oh my God.
Like,
that's...
It's messed up.
That's disgusting on so many levels. Wow.
Because
so
an adoption agency, to some extent, is kind of an agent of the state. Because, you know, the state has an interest in making sure that these kids are well taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's part... And the fact that they are now empowered to discriminate on that level is disgusting.
Yeah, that's bad. So any gay person in the family?
Yeah. Gay trans... Uncles.
Gay uncles?
Gunkles?
Well, there's always going to be a gunkle. But...
You're going to have a gunkle.
what would you do without a gay uncle in your family?
Right, Uncle Arthur.
Yeah.
Isn't that who it was?
Oh, Samantha.
On Bewitched.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Uncle Arthur? He'd be a great parent.
Yeah.
We're going to teach you about brunch.
So.
Today's the day. Today we're going to study fabrics. That's chenille. Sweetie, go get Uncle Arthur.
I wanted to get a line in about the mimosa ratio.
Yes. You and I have an ongoing conversation about this. I am gayer than you in that respect. I do love me a good mimosa.
I don't really. That's not what I want first thing in the morning.
No.
A Bloody Mary? Sure. Great. Fine.
Yeah.
Mimosa?
I love a good mimosa.
No, not really my thing. Not my thing. Well, that's horrifying, Dan, and I'm outraged. And I saw this article I'll admit to it. I did see this article. Does it have the photo of the horrifying grin on the governor's face
No.
while she's signing it?
The one I'm looking at, she's just looking down at a paper and signing it.
No, there's this one where she is so fucking happy. And it's like, you are that's the face of evil right
yeah.
there for
yeah.
me, you know?
Let me tell you something. And we're going to talk about this later on in the show in depth. But whenever someone says religious liberty in this country, they are not, they are trying to, they have one of two agendas.
Mm-hmm.
They are either trying to enshrine their religion as the privileged and most important religion, or they are providing cover for discrimination against somebody else. They are never trying to ensure their own liberty. Because
well,
guess what, kids?
But
your religious liberty is already completely protected in the United States.
Right. But their liberty doesn't feel like liberty if they can't discriminate against people.
Right.
That's pretty fucked up liberty right there.
Yeah. They want
you have to. You don't feel free unless you're trampling on other people's rights.
The religious liberty that I'm seeking is the liberty to be an asshole to you. That's the liberty I want.
It's disgusting.
I want to practice that part of my religion.
That's not how you live in a pluralistic society, like, at all.
Yeah.
But they don't want that.
No. Pluralism is the opposite of what they're going for.
Absolutely.
What they want is me-ism.
They want, and if they could have, because I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, dear.
On Hulu.
Ironically acted by a lifelong Scientologist.
Yeah, she's great, though.
Yeah, just a little bit of irony there.
Yeah, but they're funny that way. They don't care what roles their members take if they're big celebrities.
Yeah.
They don't care at all. I mean, look at that Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Ooh, look at him.
But anyway, yeah, Elizabeth Moss, she's doing a great job.
Okay.
She is.
Yeah, I believe
it. It's a horrifying series. I need to read the book.
Wouldn't
now.
Have been,
read the
it
book.
Wouldn't have been 3 years ago.
It would have been disturbing.
It would have been disturbing and interesting.
Yeah. Now it's like your skin is fucking crawling.
Yeah.
Like the timing of it is just... well, they couldn't have timed it. It just happened.
It just... magic.
And now it's just like...
they're both celebrating and going, yeah, what did we do?
Yeah.
Did we make this happen?
Yeah, I know. All right, Dan.
Yeah, what do you got?
Girl Scouts.
Uh-huh.
And the Catholics.
Oh, dear.
Catholics
are notoriously against cookies.
They hate cookies.
There should be a... There should maybe
cookies.
Okay, tell the story, but I'm going to say that if they're clashing, maybe the coming together can include a Girl Scout version of the blood of the body of Christ Eucharist there. Of the wafer.
Maybe. I don't know. The Catholic Archdiocese of Kansas City, St. Francis, I think is what it was called.
Okay.
They have decided to part ways officially with the Girl Scouts of America.
Oh!
They are allowing individual parishes to decide whether they will just immediately switch over to American Heritage Girls.
Uh-huh.
Or if they'll allow the girls who are currently enrolled in Girl Scouts to phase out. Allow them to go through and graduate from the program since they've put in all this time and blah, blah, blah. And rather keep them inside the diocese troop than send them out into
go
the
to some
world.
Go to some heathen troop out there.
Right?
Who...
So this is, of course, a reaction to the Girl Scouts' liberal... abortion seeking abortion promoting ways, and they're encouraging,
they're accepting
trans
girls,
and they're promoting it.
Yeah,
they want these girls to be lesbians,
obviously,
who abort every baby that comes along, even though lesbianism is probably the best abortion prevention there is.
Right. But you know what? The real agenda is that they want them to be lesbians, but they want them to get pregnant on purpose for the sole purpose of aborting.
It's important.
It's the liberal agenda.
Really?
And if you're a lesbian out there and you haven't been getting pregnant for the purpose of abortion, shame on you.
You're doing it wrong.
You're not
fulfilling your destiny.
You're not liberaling correctly. And we'll hear actually more about that later.
There's an immediate ban, starting at the end of this school year, on any Girl Scout cookies being sold on diocese property.
Oh, God.
So schools and the churches, absolutely under no circumstance can there be Girl Scout cookies sold there. And God help me if we even see a Samoa in the teacher's lounge.
Right. Is Brother Jacob, is that a Thin Mint? You've brought an abomination into the house of God.
No, it's a skinny chocolate wafer.
Say three flavoring. Hail Marys and four Our Fathers and eat that off property.
Yeah, I wonder what the American Heritage girls sell. Is it anything good?
Like they sell saltines.
And soup. Cans of soup and saltines.
They sell dry biscuits.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be good. Anyway, Heritage Girls, if you don't know what they are, American Heritage Girls, rather, they've been around since 1995. And it is a growing movement. They have over 1,000 troops now and more than 47,000 members. So that's how many homophobic... that's a tribute to homophobic parenting. Right there.
And transphobic parenting.
And transphobic, but transphobia is so new.
It's so new.
As like a national movement.
They didn't even know that.
It's existed since trans people have existed, of course. I wasn't saying that.
But you know, as a society, we really didn't even know that they were there to hate them.
I know.
For the longest
time. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, you had Girl Scouts. I'm going to go with Boy Scouts then.
Oh, really?
And you had Catholics. I'm switching to Mormons.
Oh, dear God. What are they doing?
There's a lawsuit.
Oh.
A federal suit filed in Boise. Naming as defendants the Boy Scouts of America and the LDS Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Basically saying that both organizations were aware of and did nothing to prevent the abuse of several boys.
Oh, God.
So the Boy Scouts, basically, it said the church and the Boy Scouts basically ignored allegations about at least three Scout leaders who were known to have been abusing boys during camping trips, etc. And did not protect the boys, did not take the steps needed. This was back in the between the 60s and 80s. So it's been a while, but yeah. And in fairness, the Boy Scouts have implemented much stronger protections
since then. Yeah,
but even then, the Boy Scouts of America had a red flag system. They had files in place for people that men who shouldn't be allowed to work with children, and never once actually revealed any of that to parents or the public.
Oh, wow!
So at least one of the men was convicted of sexual abuse in 1998. Mm. Meantime, the LDS Church. You know, it's so weird. These churches affiliating with these scouting organizations, it just seems like a recipe for disaster. Why? Just separate it. I don't understand it. But, like, Mormons are very into the scouting thing.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where the Boy Scouts of America ends up being the de facto group that all of the young men have to go into.
Well, yeah, like your midweek activities for the young men. Is scouting. The girls go and have their own church designed program.
Right. But the church was lazy and didn't want to do it, and there was this other thing there, so they just fucking threw us all into that.
The one thing, though, I think that's hard to accuse the Mormon church of is being lazy.
It's the one chance I have to do that. Just let me do it. They were lazy this time.
They thought they had a perfect program.
Right.
That they could also manipulate and control.
Yeah.
Which is another thing.
Yep. So anyway, this lawsuit, it seems they're demanding a jury trial and more than, and this seems like this figure actually sounds really low to me. They're demanding more than $75,000 for each of the plaintiffs. $75,000 seems really reasonable.
That is reasonable.
You always hear about like huge, seven-figure.
Well, maybe they just know that. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's some math there. I don't know.
I'm sure there is, but also, what I'm saying is that this doesn't seem like a money grab. This seems like
we're trying to hold the organizations accountable.
Right. So anyway, that's happening.
Wow. Well.
Churches are not great
at
protecting the chillins from predators.
No.
Because they're good men.
Yeah, they are. They're good, that man. They're good, a good man.
They're good churchmen.
Yeah. All right, Dan.
Yeah.
This is an article about Oklahoma and their death penalty.
Oh.
Did you know that Oklahoma has the highest execution rate in the nation?
Like per capita or just
per capita?
Well, there you go. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
They love a good killing.
Actually,
it does surprise me because I would think that their downstairs neighbor, Texas, would be the one.
They have such a large population in Texas.
That's true.
Right.
You can't kill them fast enough in Texas to catch up to Oklahoma.
And I think if you actually did catch up to Oklahoma, you'd probably...
Bloodbath. Everybody in San Antonio would be dead now.
I was thinking probably more like Lubbock.
Okay.
But
there would be no Waco anymore.
The feds would not have stopped at the compound.
No, they just would have kept going.
Just blown up.
Plop, plop, plop.
Just. That's terrible, Dan.
Instead of immunizing, they just go through like.
Terrible.
Yeah,
that's terrible. Nonetheless, Oklahoma has been undergoing some hand-wringing of late.
Oh, no.
Because you will recall they were the ones with the really, well, there were a couple really botched executions, if I remember. But Oklahoma had the one where the guy was on the gurney yelling, "My body's on fire."
That's fun.
After they injected him with the wrong drug.
Yeah.
So, here's a picture, Dan, I want you to look at.
Oh, God.
Representative Mike Ritz.
Oh, okay.
Tell me if he isn't gung-ho about killing people.
Oh, my God.
Looks like he might sign up to do it himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man just looked at my soul from a picture. How did he do it? I feel violated. I saw a picture and it knew things about me.
He sells insurance.
That dude?
What does he do for a living?
Here, give me the picture.
There you go. I'm going to need that back, though, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... Oh, God.
He's got to be in some kind of...
He could sell used cars.
Oh, he's used car salesman.
Or he could have, like, he could have a children's program, but he definitely molests them afterwards.
Oh, my God, Dan.
Like he's a beloved children's television personality who definitely, like, has murdered a couple kids.
Well, Oklahoma has put a temporary moratorium on state executions.
Oh, no, Oklahoma.
No, I know. Poor inmates.
Right.
Now, what's going to happen? There's an independent committee that with, it's very bipartisan, and they started off with the assumption, this is where they started, and I think this is actually really the best place they could have started.
Okay.
Considering that they had very pro, state execution people,
right.
Death penalty people,
yeah.
And very anti-death penalty people.
Okay.
Right. They started with the question of if we cannot ensure that no innocent people are executed, then we should not be doing state executions.
Yeah.
Now, that's where they started.
Wow.
Okay.
No more executions, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but these people are, they're trying hard to figure out how do we make sure that we can kill the ones that deserve it.
Yeah, that
you know,
need to
actually, they need to some be folks, wiped off the face of the planet.
There's some folks need sins. Killing out there.
Yeah. what's really interesting, of course, is to me that this very gung-ho state has actually formed a very reasonable approach to the whole thing of having a real discussion about this topic. It gives me real hope.
Yeah.
That maybe we can just do away with this once and for all. Finally, the majority of Americans are no longer support the death penalty.
Really?
Yeah. Only 49% of Americans support the death penalty. 42 actively oppose. And then there's this window where they just don't know.
Right.
But only 49 are like, yeah, kill the bastards.
Is it Arkansas that recently had their spree?
Yeah.
Their killing spree?
Yes.
Boy, they had some fun. Because the drugs that they used were going to expire and no one will sell them the drugs anymore.
Uh-huh.
Good.
So better use it.
We're running out. It's going to expire. We got to kill them all.
Yeah. But this topic, and we've talked about this topic a lot, and I just don't know how religious folk can support the death penalty.
Have you read the Bible? It could be used either way.
I know, but like in a modern context.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if you look at, again, sort of what I understand the overall message of Christianity to be, right? And the mechanisms of forgiveness and, you know, eternal punishment or versus eternal reward and all these concepts, it's not, I don't know how you can claim that it's our responsibility to punish at that level.
Yeah.
Right? Like taking somebody's life. I don't know how they can justify it. And yet you hear, reading articles like this, the religious folk saying things like, well, but we need to punish these people. And it's like, I don't feel the responsibility, even as an atheist, to punish the worst of our criminals. What I feel the need to is to get them out of society.
Right.
And to put them aside.
Well, killing them definitely gets them out of society.
Well, it's, yeah, but
it's probably
again,
the most effective way.
That they're 100%. You know,
no, you can't.
That they 100% did it.
Yeah, I don't believe in punishment at all. First of all, I've been reading a lot of. There's a lot of really interesting psychology that's that's showing that punishment is completely ineffective on humans. Hmm. It doesn't have the effect we think it does. Uh-huh. Even children.
Whoa.
Like all of the new child psychology is saying, don't punish children.
Oh,
there are better ways to deal with bad behavior, even the worst behavior.
Have you met a child these days?
Oh, I want to punish all the children. But I'm not raising them.
Especially the ones who aren't being punished.
Right. Well, no.
They're out of control, Dan.
Well, so a lot of them are out of control. But I want to punish parents, too. But this is my point. It's for my own satisfaction. It's not to have any effect on them.
Right.
And that's what punishment does.
That's what this is.
Punishment has effect. Punishment is for is to satisfy the bloodlust of the victim, right. Not to have an effect on the criminal.
And this is where Oklahoma might actually be lucky, because one of their most strident anti-death penalty and sort of most vocal opponents to the death penalty activists or whatever.
Yeah.
She actually had a loved one who was murdered.
Mm.
And she was able to work through everything that she was feeling.
Yeah.
She was a religious woman, so she went through she uses her faith as an example and how she worked through and forgave this person,
right.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Actually. And that she does not want that person executed.
Yeah.
And so she has this ammunition, because what you always hear for the pro death penalty people is, well, yeah, but if your loved one was killed, you'd want that person to die.
Right.
You hear variations on that theme. And she's able to stand up and say, actually, my brother was killed. And no, I don't want that person killed.
Right.
And so yeah. they at the top of their discussion, they have somebody who's able to speak about forgiveness and moving on and letting go of these really negative feelings that most people want revenge for.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying and horrible.
Yeah, I don't think revenge is very good.
And I think that's what they want, though. Don't you? What? If you want somebody punished who killed your loved one, isn't that revenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the concept of revenge. Yeah. It doesn't speak to me. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Altruria Elementary in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow, that's a name.
Yeah. Is in an uproar.
No.
Because their Bible club has been shut down.
Who would dare shut down such a thing?
Right?
Dan.
Now, here's the deal.
I'd be outraged, too.
As you and I have talked about, Bible clubs are okay on school property. Mm. It's fine to have a Bible club on school property. That has been established in U.S. law numerous times. It just has to be... but there are rules about it. It can't be sponsored by the school.
Right.
But having club, that's what, you know, this is why after school Satan began by the Satanic Temple, to sort of to sort of as a counterpoint to all of the, to all of these Bible clubs. Well, this one's been shut down. The Fuffurf had sent them a letter, but they don't normally do that with a Bible club. This one was special. And the reason that this one is special is that they were sending home letters like permission slips that basically made it just sound like when, you know, which slot do you want your kid to go to Bible club? It never said like, do you want your kid to go to Bible club? It was just like, when do you want which part of Bible club do you want your kid in? And so that was weird, and gross. It was offered by two of the teachers. Yeah. Two of the teachers in the school were giving the Bible club.
Not good.
Which basically amounts to an improper relationship between the school and this club.
Yeah.
So the Fuffurf sent a letter, and the school agreed. And what? Of course, there's uproar. Of course, there's anger and whatever. Nate Kellum, an attorney for the Center for Religious Expression.
Oh, yeah. That's
never a good sign. Said, the message they are sending these kids is there is something terribly wrong with you wanting to meet and discuss the Bible. I love that quote. The Fuffurf said that they're pleased about this. It's they're pleased that Bartlett City Schools has taken appropriate action to disband an unconstitutional religious club.
Yeah.
Which was really just religious instruction by public school officials.
Jesus Christ.
The schools themselves, Bartlett City Schools, which is the overarching, the district, I guess.
Yes.
For their part, when asked, said, per our understanding, religious clubs at elementary schools must be sponsored by an outside group. To our knowledge, the K-2 Bible Club at Altruria was not.
K-2.
While this club has been postponed, we are working with the school to ensure the proper steps are taken to allow this club in the 2017-2018 school year. So it's not... Like, A, I don't think anybody should be too mad about this. Nobody should be mad. And I don't...
I'm outraged.
I also don't think that that we as atheists should feel like there's some giant victory here. Mm. Frankly, shutting down a Bible club isn't that big of a deal to me, but making sure that the Bible clubs operate properly is pretty important.
Yeah.
But imagine all those poor Christian kids that are apparently getting the message that there's something very wrong with them.
Oh my God. They're just going to be running loose now. No direction in their lives.
They're probably going to turn to crime.
Lost.
It's
lost.
A life of crime for them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A whole generation in this town completely lost. Oh, my God. It's just the worst, Dan.
It is. It is.
How can it be? You know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I've got a story, Dan, of a guy in prison who has been working to appeal his sentencing and all that kind of crap.
As you do.
Yeah.
When you're in prison.
His argument, he's admitted to the fact that he was a heroin dealer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, I was a heroin dealer. Great.
But
it was my religious duty to sell heroin.
It's a religion.
It's, and he claims that he, and apparently he must have, the article doesn't get into it or not. But that he had a nonprofit established that aimed to get heroin into the hands of, quote, the sick, lost, blind, lame, deaf, and dead members of God's kingdom.
He's giving heroin to dead people?
Apparently, yeah.
Well, it can't do them any harm. So at least...
This argument has not worked in the past. The courts have, completely rejected this.
Yeah.
But he was up in an appeals court, and they not surprisingly, it didn't work.
It is interesting, though. I think multiple times we've seen guys trying to do something illegal under the banner of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, just you can't sell heroin, but you might be able to get away without paying taxes, so take that for the win. What about that? Not that you pay taxes on heroin sales anyway.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to run afoul of the IRS,
you got to pay them.
Then
something.
You probably should be paying your taxes on your heroin.
On your
you probably won't be able to get a bank account.
No,
it's an all cash business at that point.
It's tricky.
Was that John Oliver that went into that? Somebody recently had a whole thing on how the marijuana industry.
Yeah, yeah.
They're caught in this weird limbo
where they have to do cash, they can't
actually have to show up to the IRS with like barrel loads of cash to pay their tax bill
because they can't even write a check.
Right. Because the federal regulation on the banks won't let them get a bank account.
Yeah.
Anyway, God, the things that people will try to use religion to justify, right?
Yeah. I mean, I say go for it. Okay. You know, maybe you probably won't be able to get away with selling heroin, but maybe there's some other shit you can get away with. Claim religion. If they're going to do it, we should be doing it too. Anybody do it.
Well, I mean, it definitely helps test the limits.
Yeah.
Of how far you can go.
I feel like we should be encouraging all of our listeners, whenever you get run afoul of the law in any way, find a religious liberty argument.
This is my sincerely held religious belief.
If I go slower than the speed limit, if I go less than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, I feel like Jesus gets mad. I believe that very, very deeply.
Yeah.
So
should be able to argue that in a society that values religious belief, Dan,
so highly,
right?
Yeah,
you should be able to argue for that.
Yes, indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've run afoul of the law and think that we can help you come up with a creative way to get you out of it using your sincerely held religious beliefs, write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while you're there, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It is a closed group, though.
Yeah.
But, you know,
We'll let you in.
You'll get in.
Facebook tried to trick me on the Members Only Lounge recently.
No.
Tried to say, hey, is this group about atheists? And wanted me to put a tag on it. And I was like, no, idiot. The whole point is that it's not tagged. It's a secret group. So that other people can't know that you're... So that nobody can tell that you're an atheist just because you're in the group. That's the whole point, dummy. Wow. Anyway, we're working to protect your anonymity. Or your whatever.
So there, take that, Facebook.
Ha-ha.
Daniel.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but the liberals out there, they've got an agenda, kids. It's not just educating your children. It's definitely not STEM. Like, they don't care if you know math, if your kids know math.
Liberals care nothing about science, technology,
they don't care if your kid leaves the school able to read. Here's what they care about. Kevin Swanson's going to help us out with that one.
The state has an agenda with your children. And friends, I realize that this may sound a little bit hyperbolic. It may sound a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't think it is, because I think if you begin to see the trajectory of where things have gone and you just draw it out for the next 5, 6, 8 years, you're going to find this is the agenda. The goals of the educational program for your kids in the public schools, the goals of the world for your children, is that your kids be transgendered and communist by 20 years of age. You think I'm overstating the case, Steve?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, if you take out the line from where they start, you know, several years ago, and you continue on to its logical end.
Draw that line out for the next 5, 8 years, friends. Of course, this is the agenda. Parents, just get serious about it. Do you want your kids transgendered and communist at 18 years of age? Is that your goal? If it isn't, then maybe you ought to bring a different vision into the education of your children.
Wait, that was my goal. I want my kids to be transgendered and communist.
That's terrible.
I just love that. I love that it's so apparent.
Well, if you just draw the line, Dan.
All you have to do is draw the line.
Clear trajectory here.
Open your eyes, people. It's obvious. Ooh.
Don't be blind to this one.
It's obvious that what they want, they're trying to create a generation of trans commies. I just feel like that's just, like, nobody can believe that, can they? They can't actually fall for that.
I don't know.
Like,
someone at home is sitting there going, oh, God damn it, what are these liberals going to do next? God, they're just so ridiculous.
It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
How?
You'd have to, I don't know what
you
kind
send
of
a kid to school.
You'd have to
they come home with whatever homework they come home with, and then you look at that and you go, yep, they're trying to make them trans.
And communist.
They're trying to make little Jimmy become a girl. It's pretty obvious when you look at this math homework. when you really look at it, when you look behind the, when you look sort of between the lines.
Right.
They're definitely trying to make everybody trans.
Boy, they're fitting a lot in between those lines.
Although,
a lot of those
liberal parents would say, no, that's not what we're trying to do, but I wouldn't mind if my kid were. And really, isn't that the same thing?
Oh, these people, Dan. Why do we have to share a country with them?
It's the spice of life, Frank.
Is it?
It is.
Really?
It's spicy. We're a spicy country. Variety. It's out there. We had some folks write into us. Jeremy wrote in to say, I have a coworker that says he gets prophecies from God. And he has told me multiple things that God has told him to tell me.
Run screaming.
I honestly don't know what to say to him when he does this. He's so deep in belief that there's no way to get him not to believe. I guess he's asking for some help here.
Oh, all you can do is ignore it.
I mean,
unless it's crossing some line.
You can ask him not to bring that shit to you.
You could. Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah. Could we keep our relationship professional?
Right.
Could we keep our conversations
I'm not
on topic, please?
I you're fine to have your religion. I have no problem with you believing the thing, whatever you want to believe.
Yeah.
Just please don't bring it to me.
Could be dicey depending on where this office is or workplace is.
I mean, yeah, what you do is you invoke professionalism.
Yeah.
I just need you to stay professional with me. Thanks.
Yeah. Maybe some leading by example.
Or, well,
as well.
You could also lead, you could also take his lead and get prophecies of your own.
Oh, yeah.
You can be inspired by God, too.
Competing prophecies.
Yeah. Like, you know what, Sam, I have to tell you, I had a dream last night, and I believe that it's about you, and it says that you need to move to Texas.
Yeah.
So you really should pray on that and decide if that's really what needs to happen. But I'm pretty sure God was telling me that you have to move to a different state. So,
wow. Why did God tell you that?
Pretty important stuff.
No, God didn't tell you that.
God did tell me that, Sam. Move to Texas, Sam!
God said so.
God said, if you believe in your God.
Yeah. Because it was your God who told me that.
Yeah.
It wasn't mine, actually.
I don't believe in God, but God, I don't have a God for me, but your God came to me.
Yeah. And said, hey, I'm Sam's God.
Said, hey, you know, Sam, I've been telling him a bunch of stuff. I wanted to tell you something for him.
He's missing all of it.
He's not hearing.
It's been a lot.
He's not hearing the whole message. And the most important part of it is he has to move away to a different place. Oh. I think we've solved Jeremy's problem, don't you? I think we've
absolutely.
I think we've done a great job.
Yeah, that's great advice.
So, yeah, you're welcome, Jeremy. Woohoo! Hey, we have a voicemail, right?
We do. A listener actually was here in town and just called to tell us about her experience.
Hi, Frank and Dan. This is your longtime listener, Teddy, calling. And I just wanted to tell you that although I'm from the East Coast and recently in California, I'm in Salt Lake City for a business trip and made my contact take me to Temple Square. So I finally get to see what all the fuss was about. Impressive amount of wealth and real estate, but I knew a lot about the Mormon faith, and my companion was very surprised that I could tell who the Angel Moroni was. But, phew, what a bunch of BS. Anyway, it was fun. Thanks. Bye.
What do you mean, BS? There's so many very nice, smiling, happy, kind people willing to tell you how not BS it is.
How could it possibly be BS?
All of those sincere young women can't be wrong. They're so sincere. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever do come to Salt Lake City, definitely go to Temple Square. You will be accosted by nice, smiling young women.
Yep.
You can ask them to leave you alone.
And they will.
And they will.
Yeah.
Or conversely, if this is your game, ask them to show you around. They'll tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah.
They will be so happy to guide you through anything.
Private tour guides.
Yeah.
Yep.
In whatever language you're interested in.
They'll find someone.
They'll find somebody who speaks your native tongue.
Showed up from the Philippines. Tagalog.
There it is.
Here you go.
She's out there. She will sister so-and-so is on the premises.
She'll come scurrying over.
Oh, she will be so fucking excited. Mandarin? Fuck yeah, they got some Mandarin speakers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
Yeah, enjoy that. And then go see Space Jesus. He's there.
There's Space Jesus. There's the unbelievably large mega knackle.
Yeah. I go there shockingly frequently.
Why?
It's pretty. I don't know. It's a nice place to just sort of
wander over and wander in.
It's a nice place to go for a walk.
But they have to? Oh, but you don't go in.
To what?
The conference center.
No. I meant Temple Square in general.
Oh, okay.
I go there and I go for walks. It's near me.
Okay.
And it's weird people watching that I get such a kick out of.
Yeah.
And I'm usually listening to an atheist podcast as I meander through there. It's kind of this delightful thing that I do.
I do like the tabernacle for some reason.
Yeah. Go listen to some organ music for free.
Yeah, they do that. Nice. Yeah.
Hi, Frank and Dan. This is Roy writing into us, but spelled with an I, so less cowboy-y than
King.
One would think.
Right? Doesn't raw in French
mean king?
King,
I yes, think so. Yes, indeed. Anyway, Roy says, I'm a new listener, and I was super excited to hear the question about alternatives to AA in your recent podcast, because it was my bad experience in AA that led me to embrace my atheism and find your podcast. So that's interesting. Two resources most useful for me have been Smart Recovery at www.smartrecovery.org, an alternative recovery program based on rational emotive behavior and behavioral therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy.
Hmm.
They provide scientific information, explanations, and practical tools that can be very helpful.
Hmm.
And AA Beyond Belief, a website and podcast with tons of information for non-believers.
AABB.
Yes, there you go. At aabeyondbelief.org.
Hmm.
It's mostly for people who want to be a part of the atheist agnostic AA community. So there is like a space within AA that's sort of carved out for that.
Okay.
But not really. It's they still want you to have a spiritual experience. They still like AA is centered around this idea that you have to have a spiritual experience in order to stop drinking or in order to stop.
So they only do the 11 steps.
Yeah, exactly. No, they still want you to do that other.
I'm saying this one.
Right.
Beyond the AABB.
No, that you still have to do the 12th step. It's just you do it in a tricky way that doesn't involve Jeebus. It's a different.
Okay.
And that's illustrated.
Your higher power is your.
Right. Roy pointed this out. Roy said, I'd like to share my experiences. These were a few of my AA sponsors' responses when I finally admitted I wanted to try a secular therapy-based approach to address the crippling anxiety I experienced in the months after I stopped self-medicating with alcohol.
Yeah.
Quote, if you really wanted to be sober, you'd be willing to believe in God. You don't have to believe anything right now. You just have to be willing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, thank you.
Or, quote, if the spiritual awakening isn't working for you, you must not want sobriety badly enough.
Oh, no.
You have to really want it. So what if you have to suffer a little until you get there?
Fuck them.
Or AA isn't an I program. It's a we program. Anything you try to do for yourself will fail. Look where your self-reliance got you before.
There's no we in team.
No. Wait. I love when people. My favorite response to "there's no I in team" is to say, "Yeah, but there's a me."
Oh yeah, just not.
You just have to rearrange it a little bit, but yeah. Or here's the final quote: "I need to warn you, if you don't stay in AA and do the 12 steps with a sponsor, terrible things are going to happen to you."
Oh, gross!
But don't worry. The fellowship isn't going anywhere. You can always come back. Roy says, I walked away and haven't had a drink since and found exactly the help I needed in Smart Recovery.
Excellent.
Of course, not everyone in AA is like that. But in reading and listening to the stories of other former members, many people across the country have had very similar experiences because the things she said are in line with the book that the program is based on. AA was born out of an evangelical Christian organization called the Oxford Group, and the remnants of that can definitely be seen in some of the people who stay in it.
Hmm. Well, congratulations, Roy.
Yeah, congratulations on your sobriety, and thank you for continuing to help our brothers and sisters who may need help with recovery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Addiction's tricky, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking hard as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you know, anyone dealing with it, I got nothing but love for you.
Yeah.
It's some rough shit.
Yep.
So there you go. Do we have anybody to thank this week?
We do. We have, two new patrons on Patreon.
Okay.
Both these are coming in at the faithful level. We have faithful donors.
Oh my, I might need glasses.
Danilo and Brent. So thank you to the both of you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And thanks, of course, to James, our Lord and Savior.
Oh.
He continues to be our top donor.
Nobody's able to unseat James so far. He is.
James gives
our Lord and Savior
a good chunk of money per episode. So, yeah. It's going to take somebody who's really committed.
Yeah.
To unseat James. So thank you, of course, James.
But we don't value any of our patrons any less than any other patrons.
No, of course
not. To be honest. They're just not magic. They just can't produce miracles.
He can't walk on water.
Right. Whereas James is capable of miracles.
Yeah. Water to wine,
yeah,
folks. You want this guy at a party.
If you know James, you are a lucky son of a bitch.
All right. And if you'd like to become a patron on Patreon, you can go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com, and click on the support tab, and you'll see information there on how to do it. Once you arrive at Patreon, you'll see different levels that you can support at, including rewards that you get at that level. And all patrons gain access to a commercial-free version of the show.
Indeed, it's true. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the other people. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Frank,
Dan,
news was made on this week.
Oh,
when one President Donald John Trump.
Oh my God,
that's not. It's not easy to say those.
I it still doesn't work for me, Dan.
He is our president, and he signed an executive order for religious liberty. Now, we talked about this earlier. Religious liberty in this country means making sure that Christians are privileged above all other humans.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that means.
Because they deserve it.
They
is what really is.
It's what the founding fathers wanted. And to a lesser extent, Jews, but mostly Christians.
Jews just kind of get a free ride. They get a tag along.
Well,
they get a free pass.
Like they get added to the word, so it's like this is a Judeo-Christian society. They like they're getting a little bit of a head nod.
They're fine.
Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, sort of thing. Like we all can hate Muslims equally.
Well, I think Jews had carved out a place for themselves earlier.
Well,
than our collective hatred of.
Yeah.
Of Muslims.
Jesus was a Jew.
Jesus was a Jew.
You can't ever.
Christians have a love-hate relationship with the Jews. They love them enough to tack them on to Judeo-Christian.
Right.
They hate them well enough to say nasty things about them.
They hate the fact that they control the media and the banks.
Yeah.
Which they definitely do. The Jews definitely do. So this is a religious liberty executive order. Basically, now it is actually smaller in its scope than we thought it was going to be. They had leaked out an executive order that he was going to do back in like February.
Oh.
And it was in this, and that one was like all about, it was, that one was a game of smear the queer. That one was all about making sure that all religious people could discriminate gleefully against gays as much as they wanted to.
The public street.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Spit on them.
Kick.
It's fine.
Point your finger.
And they managed to not do that in this one. So all it
that
does...
Okay, interesting.
So all it does is basically... Is this for
florists and pizza parlors?
Well, the first thing that it does is it... basically says we are not going to enforce the Johnson Amendment, which means we are not going to. It basically opens the door. It doesn't change the law. The law still says that a nonprofit cannot endorse a political candidate.
Right.
But Trump's federal government is not going to pursue that.
Right.
So that's what it does. It's lovely that it's not the discriminate against gay people bill. That's nice. But it's basically opening the door.
Yeah, that one's coming, though.
Oh, well, I mean, that one's basically there. It's basically already exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least in Alabama. Here's a quote that I adore. I don't know why nobody has pointed this out before. This is Trump saying, as he's in the Rose Garden, surrounded by, I'm seeing a Jew, I'm seeing a Sikh person, I'm seeing a couple Jews.
Mm.
There might be a Mennonite lady in the back? No, she's probably a nun. Somebody with her hair covered, but she's a white lady, so she's not Muslim. So thank God for that. And priest. Anyway, they're all in the Rose Garden. Trump says, faith is deeply embedded. And by the way, you can tell when Trump didn't write his own speeches. Some presidents, they sound the same, whether it's them or their speechwriters.
Right.
I don't think Trump's speechwriters even try to get his cadence.
Right.
Because how would you? Just stop in the middle of sentences?
You can't write those sentences.
It's hard to write.
The number of dashes,
right.
Ellipses, semicolons.
Who knows
required.
If he, who
it's
knows?
It's mostly punctuation.
Right, exactly. Who knows if Trump even knows what any of those things are? He might start saying them. He might actually say the
dash,
words.
Dash, dash.
What? Line, dot, dot, dot.
What is this, Morse code?
It is Morse code. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe every pause, it's not just dog whistles. He is signaling to the Russians.
Oh, my God. That's how you communicate.
To the Nazis. He's more, far more brilliant than we're giving him credit for. Here's what he said. Faith is deeply embedded into the history of our country, the spirit of our founding, and the soul of our nation. Yeah, that's pretty grand for Donald Trump. We will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore. Really, Mr. Trump? Would a Muslim person agree with your assessment? Do you feel like that's... Because it seems like the one that's doing the most targeting and bullying of people of faith right now in this country is the orange one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a new...
Disgusting.
New meaning for the bully pulpit.
Right.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one who's discriminating most against people of faith in this whole country is the candy corn that lives on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh.
It's amazing to me that he.
Of course he didn't write that.
No. But this is how. How much nonsense they have that they don't even, when they say these things, the only thing they're thinking about when they say the words people of faith is Christians
themselves. Yeah.
They can't even imagine. It doesn't even occur to them.
I think the people writing it know, but they know what they're saying.
Right.
They're duplicitous enough. I think
so. Yeah, somebody like,
don't you think,
like Steve Bannon,
he knows exactly what he's saying and why he's saying it that way.
Probably
right. Whereas I think and you're right. The rest of them don't.
There's a bunch of dum-dums,
and there are a bunch of dum-dums in his White House.
Yeah.
So maybe they do believe it. I don't know.
I don't know. Dum-dum in chief. I would very much believe that if you said, "Hey, what about Muslims?" You would be like, "Oh yeah, they're great." It would just. I don't know. Depending on who he's talking to.
Well,
that's the amazing thing about him.
Depending on the paragraph that just came prior.
Right.
Right. Does he have in his head terrorism?
Right.
And terrorists, therefore Muslims, right?
Or did he
so
just...
Muslims bad.
Right. Or did he just meet a nice guy
yeah.
who happens
he's
to
like,
be
oh,
Muslim?
Muslims are great.
Right.
I like Muslims. Some of my best friends are Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I just had a meeting with them.
What were they talking about on Fox and Friends this morning? that'll determine everything about what his attitude is, how he answers a question.
I honestly didn't know that Muslims could be such good people.
Yeah.
Didn't know it. Chatted with this guy for 10 minutes.
Now I think they're great.
They're awesome.
They're all very good.
They're really cool. Did you know that apparently we all believe in the same God?
It's a religion of peace.
That we're all people of the book.
I just learned that.
I didn't know that.
I just learned it.
The same God. They're monotheists. Did you know they're monotheists?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Donald Trump does not know the word monotheist.
They have these five pillars. I didn't know about these five pillars, but they're beautiful pillars. They're beautiful, and I know pillars.
Let me tell you,
these are beautiful pillars.
Now, Mar-a-Lago has 22 pillars. I checked, so we got more pillars. But they've got some pillars.
I asked if they were Corinthian capitals or Ionic.
Yeah.
And apparently they're neither. They're Doric. But that's a different discussion.
Yeah, he definitely knows about the capitals of columns, for sure. He's super into classical architecture. Certain religions have responded to this. I'm going to mention our former religion's response.
Oh, okay.
The church, the LDS Church, the Mormons, has pronounced that. I love this. Quote, "We are always grateful for the efforts of leaders to safeguard religious freedom and protect the beliefs and religious exercise of all people." This is LDS Church spokesman Eric Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been and remains committed to political neutrality."
Oh, dear God.
I can't even get through the sentence.
Fuck them. Jesus.
So they've
Christ.
Declared their neutrality. So
no, apparently they already declared it.
Yeah. What I'm saying is they're not going to use this newfound power.
Right.
Which is not a power. They still I guess they're legally
an asterisk there somewhere. Some fine print associated with this
Well,
statement.
Kind of. I mean, they did say they said they don't endorse, promote, or oppose political parties, candidates, or platforms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not overtly. But they say they, quote, "reserve the right as an institution to address in a nonpartisan way issues that they believe have significant community or moral consequences or that directly affect the interests of the church."
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That means gays. Also, drinking in this state,
yeah,
it means that they get
their marching orders.
Oh my God!
And they do. They have a whole system in place.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's not the president of the church calling them up, telling them what to do. It's the church paid lobbyists who know how to talk to these guys. They pull them aside and they tell them what the church wants. And
let me tell you something. In the state of Utah, on Capitol Hill, when those two church-paid lobbyists,
mm-hmm.
they don't even have to know how to talk to them. They just say, there are many times when they just say, "we're not addressing that issue this session."
Right.
And that's the marching orders. And they all obey.
Yeah.
They all literally get the word.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, there's the four Democrats who are like, "nah, we're going to fight the good fight," or whatever. But
right.
it's worthless because the church has enough clout right. with enough of the things that nothing gets done if the church says we're not doing
that. And it was, who was it? Wadups? Who was the guy who kind of actually was honest as soon as he was out of the legislature about how it all worked?
Wasn't
Wadups.
Revealed.
Wadups was somebody else. There was this one guy and he ended up blogging about it. And yeah, there's this understanding that your standing in the church is at risk if you run afoul of these two.
Yeah.
That they have that they have the marching orders from the church. You better do what they say, or else your temple recommend ain't getting renewed.
Right, and
I mean, it's that's how they wield their power.
It is that overt.
Yeah,
it is literally just these two guys walk down the hall and say, and you know, every now and then they'll say, you know, the church isn't worried about this, so
right.
you vote your conscience.
Right.
But if the church decides that they don't want a bill on that floor, that bill doesn't get on that floor.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Yep.
So their neutrality is intact.
Oh, so neutral. It's the most neutral of all the neutralities.
It's the neutralist.
Yeah.
They're the neutralist.
They're so good at being neutral.
So anyway, yeah.
They're the Switzerland of religions.
Right. They're not going to, but they're not going to endorse any candidates, even though there seems to be now the freedom to do so.
All you have to do is be Republican. They don't need to.
Right, exactly.
The moment that they need to, they will. Right?
Maybe.
Like right now, it's really, they know where their center of power is. It's in Utah, and it's making sure that there are Mormons at the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Well, and they know also that they'll have more converts if they have an official stance of, like, of course you can be a Democrat. Yeah. Of course you can be a liberal and join our church.
Of course you can, for the first few years.
They're sending missionaries to, like, Norway and Sweden. If they say we are a conservative church, they're going to lose a lot of people. As though they're getting a lot of converts.
A lot of converts there.
Over there.
They're finding the one or two conservatives.
Right.
One or two people who decide to be midwives but don't want to do abortions.
Right, exactly.
That's
but you know, it is for those of you who haven't been paying attention, there are lots of churches that have been endorsing candidates this whole time and just defying the IRS to come in and take away their tax exempt status, which is what they're at risk of doing. They're risking their tax exempt status. But the IRS hasn't been doing anything anyway.
Right.
So basically, this is just Trump saying, yeah, keep on doing that.
It's lip service.
Keep doing nothing.
It's lip service.
Well, it's more than that, because he is saying, don't pursue this.
Right, but not like it was going to happen in the first place.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And it will continue not to. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you have anything that you would like to say, if there's a church in your area that's planning on using this for their advantage.
Oh, they can do anything now.
Write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
It is indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while you're there, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. We'll let you in.
We will let you in. Hey, thanks so much, speaking of Facebook, to Danny and to Sarah and Amy for all of their hard work out there.
And thanks to Mackenzie for all of the daily posting and the building of the community on our public Facebook.
Yeah. Thanks to Gordon Johnston and the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their fine, fine music.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening.
We sure do like it when you do.
Bye.